financial literacy, and the human condition. Welcome to Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor, Dr. Frances Rayum.
Hi, it's Frances. I just wanted to take a minute to thank you for watching this video. If you're catching us on YouTube, please help us help others by clicking like, subscribe, and all notifications so you don't miss any videos. And check back for the next video. I think you're going to love it. Thanks again. For more information, you can visit us at hugyourmoney.com.
Welcome to Financial Fitness. I'm Jess Tyler, along with the Money Doctor, Dr. Frances Rayum. Hi.
Hi, Jess. Happy holidays.
You as well. It's getting down to the wire now, right?
It is. It is. And we've actually had a little weather, a little snow, some of that white stuff. Yeah.
So I like the white Christmas as long as it goes away immediately afterwards.
Yeah. It's so pretty when it's falling, but you know, I don't love the mess that it makes sometimes. But anyway, talking about the holidays, of course, my job is to try to save people some money. And sometimes that comes in ways that you might not expect.
Okay.
So I know you're getting a million tips everywhere else. I have scoured the internet and pulled from some sources like AARP or Family Handyman, some of the things that I think are most interesting. And of course, I have some of my own thoughts as well.
Okay.
That we hope will save people money and get your creative juices flowing about gifts to give, even when they're free.
Oh, I like that.
My favorite price, free. Okay. And they might be a surprise to you. Okay. First of all, just speaking of snow, let's talk a little bit about, just a brief bit about the Family Handyman site that I was talking about. It's called familyhandyman.com.
Okay.
And, you know, there are a lot of sites like this out there, but some of these things are pretty interesting. And I found two that I thought, I think I might do those.
Okay. Is this kind of like an Angie's List?
No, I don't think it is. I think it's, I don't know the history behind the site, but I think it's a site where somebody has all these little, I don't want to call them gimmicks, but like sort of fix-it things that you can do.
So little tips.
Yeah, some of them were more on the edge than others, but these two I found. Now, will they save you money? Well, we could stretch this a bit and say, yeah, if you don't have to go to the hospital because you injured yourself shoveling snow, it might save you some money. But really, I just found these two things interesting and I hadn't heard them anywhere else. One is to spray your, you can tell me if you've heard this, maybe you have, spray your snowblower chute with Rain-X.
No.
Right?
Yeah. I don't have a snowblower, but that seems like that makes sense.
Well, I do have a snowblower. And let me tell you, when it clogs up or you're worried about, you know, breaking a shearing pin or something like that, then, yeah, you're going to spend some money on it. I just thought that was an interesting thing because it might not cost you anything more. You probably already have Rain-X sitting in your garage or something. Maybe it's a little bit, but stick some in a spray bottle and spray your chute. And apparently the snow comes out more easily, which could make your life easier. Okay. The second tip I found there that I really liked, I know you're going to laugh at me, folks, but I'm kind of a geek about this stuff. I thought this was really cool. Wax your snow shovel. Wax your snow
shovel. So the snow slides off?
Yeah. Now, for anybody in a warm climate listening to me, they're going to be like, what is she talking about? But for us in the Northeast, where we get real snow, wet, sticky snow, especially for older people who might still be feeling well enough to shovel and maybe they even love to shovel. I mean, we have an older person that lives next door to me shovels out my sidewalk sometimes.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, but, you know, he's healthy and he likes to do it and it feels good to him. But when that snow starts sticking to your shovel, you know, it's not fun. So wax up your snow shovel. I never would have thought of that, but I thought it was an interesting thing. Okay, we're going to go straight from the handyman into the fancy stuff we wear at the holidays.
Okay.
Right? Now, this is true for people buying prom dresses or other outfits like this, too. But how do you think you save money if you have to dress up for the holidays? I wonder what your number one tip would be, Jess.
My tip would be to find a site like Rent the Runway, where you can get a nice designer dress for like $50. Because chances are you're going to spend a few hundred and you're never going to wear it again.
No one would have thought that, no one will believe that we didn't talk about this, but that is exactly right. I thought you might say, well, I would shop at a consignment
discount store.
Or a survival center or something. And you could do that too. But in case you're wanting something that is really fancy and you don't have a lot of money, yes, Rent the Runway. A couple of other sites are ThreadUp.com. Mm-hmm. That's F. That's THRED, no A in it, thredup.com. And if you want something a little more upscale, you might check Poshmark.com. But you're absolutely right. You can get things here either at a discount or just rent it and send it back. By the way, ladies and men, tuxedos. People do not wear tuxedos very often, but when you need one, this is a great way to have it for the evening. Okay. Let's see. So, what about veterans? Veterans should get used to asking for the discount. I know. It's a pride thing. You don't want to say, hey, I'm a veteran, give me a discount. But you know what? You folks earned it.
Right, for
Okay.
sure.
You earned the 5 or 10% discount they're going to give you, whatever it happens to be. Look at the nationally recognized stores like Adidas and Zappos. They will give you a veteran's discount. A lot of stores will give you a veteran's discount, but you have to ask for it and bring your ID. You got to prove you're a veteran. Okay. But I think that's worth doing. Take advantage of that this holiday season. If you're shopping for your family, guess what? They get the discount through you, right?
I would say the same thing too for seniors. Like I was looking on a full list of places that seniors can get a discount, and I'm like, oh, okay, well, this isn't really going to apply to you're like 65 or 70. But there was quite a few on there that you could be 50 or older or 55 or older, and I'm all
Yes.
about the discount.
As a matter of fact, I have been growing a list. We will do a show about this. I've been growing a
Okay.
list of senior discounts. I think it's up to 4 pages now. And a lot of them start at age 50.
Yeah, that's
So
not senior to me, but that's great.
it's
Hey,
not
you want to
senior
give
to
a
me
discount?
either. It's not senior. Sorry, Lola is joining us here.
Oh, love
You might see
Lola.
it, folks. You might see a little tail, or
The
here she
prettiest kitty
comes.
ever. Yes.
She's sweet, but she's going up into her little box. Okay. So yes, I agree. I remember hitting 50 and getting things in the mail that said senior, and
AARP
yeah,
automatically.
it was a little depressing, but I just realized, okay, what they're really doing is capitalizing on the fact that people at that age group have some money and they want to give you deals and get them into their establishment, get
You would
you
think
into
some
their.
marketing, you would think some marketing genius though could come up with like a nicer name or something that people would like a little bit more.
Yeah, other than senior, right? Like, I don't know what that would be, but we could come up with a good name, Jess. Yeah.
All right.
Intermediate senior. I don't know. You could be sophomore. You could be a.
It's your chapter three discount. You're not on four yet. You're not on two. Your chapter
That's
three
right.
discount.
That's a chapter. It sounds too much like a bankruptcy. Chapter seven. You get a chapter three discount.
I'd like
Oh
the
my
chapter
goodness.
three, please.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Here's a tip I didn't know about. I like it when I find things I don't know about. Not flash flood, but flash food. So leave the second L out, okay? Flash food is a relatively new app that is working with grocery stores, talking about the prices of groceries. This is why I love this tip. Working with grocery stores to produce discounts of up to 50% off. Up to is always my favorite term for people use up to, but up to 50% off for items that are approaching their sell-by date. Now, before you cringe and run to the cabinet for Pepto-Bismol, sell-by is not use-by, okay? Sell-by dates, the difference between a sell-by date and a use-by date, if you don't know this already, is that sell-by is when it should be off the store shelves. That doesn't mean it's bad sitting in your refrigerator for the next 4 days. It just means it should have been off the store shelf. Use by date is another story. You want to use your food by that date, or you risk having some sort of contamination, and we worry about that. So flashfood.com, check them out. They're working with stores like Stop and Shop. We have Stop and Shops locally here, right? Tops, Giant is another one they work with. It's a relatively new app, but they're working with these stores to get that food off the shelf. Now you buy it through the app and pick it up at a designated zone at the store.
Okay, so you have to go pick it up.
Yeah, you have to pick it up. Yeah. Well,
Yeah, that's a great tip.
I suppose you could spend your savings on somebody like DoorDash to bring it to your door. But the idea here was to save money on groceries. Okay, let's talk about travel a bit. One of the things that I find interesting and surprising is the fact that you can get discounts by not only traveling at certain times on certain transit, but by booking at certain times with certain
Okay.
transit. So
Yeah.
here's an example. Amtrak, right? Train travel, which sometimes is expensive, sometimes is a better fare than you can get on a plane. Amtrak has a thing called amtrak.com/night owl, where
Okay.
you can travel for as little as $20 from New York City to Washington, D.C.
Okay. And that's if
But
you take a night train?
yes, take the night train, yes.
Take the night train.
So you have to travel between 7 p.m. and 5 a.m. But for a lot of people, that's no big deal. You get on a train at 7, you're off at noon, you're off at midnight, whatever, you're happy. But really, check out, Night Owl. So amtrak.com/night owl. Another thing about airlines is it's not just when you're traveling that saves you money, travel
Okay.
someplace on the off season. It's when you book it. Now,
What day of the week you mean?
yes.
Yeah.
No, don't ask me what sense this makes, but it's the kind of thing you have to know to save money, right? So let's see. The data from an airline reporting company called Airline Reporting Corp says that booking a trip on Sunday instead of Friday will save you 15% on international flights
Oh, wow, that's a good amount.
and 5% on domestic flights just by booking on a Sunday rather than a Friday.
That's interesting.
I don't know, but let's do it.
I wonder if booking at the end of the month versus the beginning of the month saves you money because they're trying to meet flight quotas. I'm
I
just
don't
making that up
know.
in my head, but I'm just curious.
I don't know the answer to that, but that would be just the kind of thing I want people to do. Start those creative juices flowing. Like I heard that she said if I book on a Sunday, I can save up to 15% on my domestic, I mean, on my international flight. I wonder how else I can save on a flight and go
Yeah.
out there and look for it. I don't know about the beginning and end of the month, but if you book 28 to 35 days before you fly,
Okay.
you will save about 10% versus booking 2 weeks before you fly. And 2 weeks isn't exactly last
Last
minute,
minute. Yeah.
but start booking it a month in advance and you'll save another 10% on that. So these are really, for me, these are fun things to talk about, of course. And talking about, traveling, I want to hit one more thing before we go to break about traveling. And it has to do with where you're staying when you travel,
Okay.
right? Are you staying in a hotel? And I'll expand on this a little bit, but if you might be thinking of staying in a vacation home, which you might just cut costs right there by sharing that cost with another family or more people, you can maybe cut those costs down. If you're thinking of sharing a vacation home, we all know you go to Airbnb, you go to VRBO, right? Vacation rental by owner, or booking.com. But guess what? There is a site called HiChi, H-I capital C HEE.com, HiChi.com, which scours those sites and finds the house you want at the best price. But here's the kicker. Once they've found it, you can write to the people and book directly and probably save even more money.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah, I like looking all at all the places for Airbnb and Vrbo, but the thing that always gets me is you got to be really careful about the cleaning fee. Sometimes it's like a $500 cleaning fee.
Yeah.
And you're better off with a hotel.
It's a good point that you need to, not whether you're better off or not, but that you need to read the fine print. You need to check about those costs that are what we call creeping up. Cruise costs, for instance, if you're taking a cruise, the cruise lines have avoided jumping their prices way up, so you don't really see it. However, the extras you're buying on the cruise, the travel things that you do in the little ports and things like that. If you're buying alcoholic drinks or something that might not be included in your cruise, those taxes, cleaning, those things are creeping up. Those prices are creeping up. So make sure that you're getting the full ticket price when you're doing that.
Have you been on a cruise before? The
Nope.
other thing that I haven't been on one either. I do want to go on one at some point, but the other thing that I heard that people forget to factor in is that you have to tip every single person, like your cleaning,
Oh,
like
yeah.
every
Sure.
single. So there's like, I think I have
Sure.
friends that go on cruises all the time and they end up spending like $1,000 on tips because you have to give a good amount. So you have to factor that into the cost. So just another thing to think about.
That's hefty. And thinking about that, I could imagine that the peer pressure is strong there, and you are a captive agent. You are on the boat.
If
Where are
you
you going
want
to go?
that,
Hey, I
yeah,
got to
if you
go to
want
my car
that,
for a second.
If you want that swan pillow on your bed in a mint, you better do the $100.
That's
Yeah,
right.
it's the
Yeah.
hidden costs that always get you.
That's hard. And when you think about what the cruise people must make on those tips, not that they don't earn it. I'm not saying they don't earn it, but that must be a great gig. I mean, I know a musician who plays on cruise boats and cruise ships, and that's what they do. No, I never wanted to go on a cruise. I know that sounds unusual. I like to travel, but I never wanted to cruise. I love boats. I love the water, but I just as soon take my own little boat out and go do something in the lake than to go on a cruise. But I understand the appeal.
Yeah,
No,
for sure.
certainly. You're not unpacking. You're going to different ports. A lot of the things are included. The meals and the drinks and things are included. It's a great trip to do if you have kids because the kids are safe on the boat everywhere they go. And there are lots of really appealing things about a cruise. But no, it's not for me, I guess.
Well, very interesting. A lot of money saving tips. We're going to get to more of them coming up, but I want to get your phone number first.
We are going to get to more. 413-773-3333.
Or you can visit hugyourmoney.com. We'll be back with part two of Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor, Dr. Francis Ram, coming up next on WHMP.
Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor is underwritten by Franklin County Technical School. We build futures. Visit fcts.us or call 413-863-9561.
Welcome back to Financial Fitness. I'm Jess Tyler, along with the Money Doctor, Dr. Francis Ram. Hi.
Hey, I'm having fun. Are you having fun?
Oh, for sure. I always, even if I can save a little tiny bit, I feel like I had a big win. You know, I just love getting that little bit of a discount. I do have a couple of questions in regard to that, though, because I do think I trick myself.
Uh-oh. Okay, shoot.
Okay, so the first one is this. I always want free shipping. So I have Amazon Prime, but what I get roped into is, you know, you might be planning on buying something for a couple of things that total $60. But if you do the 75, you get the free shipping.
Sure.
So I always think to myself, I'm going to save money by doing that because I'm going to, if I, you know, figure it out, I'm going to get the clothing item for cheaper. Should you do that or should you not? Or is that kind of a way to lure you in?
Both. I think that it is a way to lure you in, but I think you can use it to your advantage by slowing down a little bit. So try to plan a little bit ahead, maybe keep a list. Even what I do personally is I put things in my cart and I click save for later. So when I think of it, I think, oh, I need shampoo. I go out, I put it there, but I don't pull the trigger. I just put it in my cart, save for later. Then when I'm ready to make an order, I go and add all the things so that I get up to that level to get the free shipping, which we are paying for in a Prime membership a little bit. But of course, it's if you really ship to your house a lot, it's well worth the money to do something like that. Yeah, I think where you get burned on stuff like that is to go and say, okay, I'm almost at free shipping. If I spend $6.85 more, let me go find something for $6.85. That's where you can get burned.
Because then you think to yourself, you're getting a free item. I do this all the time with Old Navy with the kids.
Ah,
I'll be like,
yeah.
I'll throw a couple more things in. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So,
So
Christmas shopping.
does Old Navy have a save it for later in their cart?
They do. And it reminds me of what you said, even when you're in a store doing shopping, like, you know, put everything in your cart till the very end and then, you know, wait on it.
Give it
It's
a
hard
ride in your
to
cart.
do. Yeah.
Give it a ride in your cart. It helps if you can do it, like I said, just when it pops into your mind. Don't put it on your list and then one day go out and try to buy all the stuff. Actually, go to wherever you're buying it, put it there. Okay, that's off my mind, and just save it for later so that when you're ready, you can go and do that. It is the same thing as put it in your cart, give it a ride, and make your
Yeah.
decisions when you're not under pressure,
Well, I
right?
like the idea that you just suggested too, that a lot of us will get a package, you know, every other day. Instead, wait up for the 10 things you need and do one order to get the free shipping, and then you're, you know, not piecemealing it.
Well, and you're being kinder to the environment as well.
Yeah.
Combining your shipping, it works really well. Speaking of people who order online, this is a time of year when we buy a lot of wrapping paper and cards and tags and boxes. Now,
Yeah.
I ask you, for the average person, maybe there's somebody out there that cares about the box the gift is in, but I ask you, once you wrap the gift and somebody gets the nice gift and unwraps it and opens the box that was once from, I don't know, Chewy. Do you think they really care what box you used? So
Yeah.
as these things are coming to your house, start saving the boxes. Yes, they're going to be in your way, so stick them out in your garage or something and use your judgment. Hey, this looks like a bathrobe size box. This looks like it would be good to put some jewelry in. I just got a big box. It looks like a leaf blower could fit in it, in case you're not buying one that's already boxed. Okay.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah. So save those boxes and reuse them. Again, being kinder to the environment and utilizing the boxes that are coming in rather than having to recycle them and then buy new boxes and then recycle those. Reuse, recycle, right? Okay. Another thing you should do about wrapping paper and cards at this time of year, I hope I'm getting to people early enough, but maybe not, is I call it attic static, right? All that stuff in your attic that never moves, like the wrapping paper from last year or the year before that you have forgotten about. And now you're in a store and you see this lovely wrapping paper and you want to buy enough wrapping paper to wrap all your gifts this year because they're going to look good in blue rather than red or whatever. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, they will. But you know what? You thought the same thing last year and you bought some nice wrapping paper last year and probably more tags than you needed and probably more ribbon than you needed. Let's not forget bolts of tissue paper. Okay. So go and into your attic or your storage space or wherever you store this stuff and make sure that it hasn't been eaten by any little critters or anything and that it's still in good condition. Take your own inventory and then decide what you're going to do with that. Okay. Before you go out and spend a lot of money on wrapping paper, I forget what the stat was. I quoted it last year. I think the average American spends more than $700 a year on gift cards, wrapping paper, tags, ribbons, things of that nature. That's incredible, you know, when you think about it. Okay. Here's a good travel tip for you. Now that I've given you, now that I've berated you all about having to use your old wrapping paper, right? Okay. Good travel tip. Independent hotels. All right. Now I know that, you know, hotels can be expensive to stay in, right? But independent hotels often feel the cost of putting their hotel out on the market more than a national chain. In other words, they pay up to 30% to be listed on travel sites and confirm bookings, right? So if you book through a booking.com or another kind of, I don't know about booking.com specifically, but if you book through one of those travel sites and you confirm your hotel reservation through them, that hotel had to pay up to 30% to get that. So email is your friend. Find the hotel you want to stay at and email the manager or email the hotel and say, I'm looking for a discount and I'd prefer to book directly than to use a travel site. They will know what that means in code and give you a discount.
Okay. Yeah. I think I've used that before when we went, we do vacations sometimes in Florida and on Groupons, if you actually just call the place, they'll sometimes match the coupon for you.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's, I mean, any sort of price matching is a good way to save money also to say, I got this. You can say that, you know, do you offer any kinds of discounts like AAA or other things like that as well? All right, here's another thing. Stay in someone else's timeshare.
Okay.
This is great, actually. The tips are getting better as we go. So stay in someone else's timeshare. I always save the best for last. And this is not last. But you might be able to take advantage of someone else's timeshare that they're not using for less than half of what you would pay to stay in a hotel.
Yeah. And it's nice because you get the kitchen, you get the whole thing with it. Yeah.
And it's really nice because they got some money for something they couldn't use this holiday or whenever it is. So start checking out places where you can stay in someone else's timeshare. And there are lots of those. You just Google them, you'll find them right away. Okay, maybe my last, this might be my last tip, I guess, but I really like this. All right, when I talk about gift giving, and I talk every year about experience, right? Give an experience rather than a widget, right? People remember those. One of the things that I came across that I had forgotten about is experiential learning, right? Lots of colleges offer these free courses. So you could ask your local community for any four-year colleges in your area, whether they offer special programs for free or reduced tuition for older students especially.
Okay.
So you might want to give your honey, you know, I don't know that they offer anything free, but one thing that comes to mind is Franklin County Technical School, one of our sponsors, right, who has an adult learning program. It's a 13-week program, and they talk about, you know, they teach you things like electrical or carpentry or, you know, horticulture. So pay attention to your sweetie's hobbies, and maybe you can get them a free course out of college and sign them up and say, hey, guess what I found?
Yeah.
And another last thing about free is ask your local library for a culture pass. These are free passes to places like museums and other cultural attractions. Nobody has to know you got it for free. You're giving them an experience. So whether you want to give a gift and you have money or you don't, here's two really interesting ways to make this work for free and give someone an experience, something they will remember and probably go and enjoy it with them, which is
And it's thoughtful, which is nice too. It shows you're thinking about them, you know, what they like to do. It's thoughtful.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope, as I always do, that some of these tips are not the standard fare. I mean, I did draw, as I said, from AARP and familyhandyman.com and my own experience as well, and from you. Thank you, Jess. And I just hope that it started people to think about, hey, I don't have to break the bank at the holidays to do this really well.
Right. I do want to get your thoughts on regifting.
Really? Oh, regifting. I think regifting is okay, but my own personal thought is I like to ask the person that gave me the gift, would you
mind?
Oh,
you do.
Okay. Oh, I absolutely do. Because you know what? They usually are happy to know it. My sister's a great example. Would you mind? I know you gave this to me and you thought I would use it, but I haven't used it. And I have a friend who would love this. How would you feel about me giving it to her?
Okay.
And my sister is always like, no, that's great. I would rather that somebody gets it and uses it. You know, thanks for telling me. I won't buy that again next year. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
I think sometimes we're worried about hurting people's feelings, but or that the person that you give it to might find out it's a regift. I'm happy with a regift. If it's something that I'm going to use or like, I'm thrilled.
Yeah. Well, I think that's actually part of the gift. Sometimes when I do that, I will let the person know, my sister, who's really thoughtful, did this thinking that I would love it. And the fact is, I don't love it, but I've checked with her and she wanted somebody to have it who would love it. And then you're sort of giving the kindness forward as well. No, I think regifting is fine, but I do think there's something to be said for asking the person who gave you the gift. And you can start it carefully. You can say, hey, what's your thought about regifting?
Yeah.
Like you did with me. And they'll spill the beans pretty quickly.
One other quick tip that I wanted to throw in that I'm going to try this year, we'll see if it works or not, is look to see if any local radio stations or local organizations have a swap. We have one locally where you can kind of do a swap. So if you have something and you can swap it for somebody else's something and use that as a gift, then you're not spending the money and you're getting something nice.
Yeah, you just let the cat out of the bag for part two.
But
thank you. That was a good primer. Yeah, I think the second week that we do this, we will talk about where you can get huge discounts locally, things you can do to swap things, money that you can save within your own family by getting a little creative and having real fun with it. So, and I'll also give you some other money saving tips that'll get you into the new year.
I'm reading your mind now. This is scary.
It's good. I like it.
Let me get your phone number.
Sure, Jess. It's 413-773-3333.
And you can always go to hugyourmoney.com. We will have part two next week on holiday tips right here with Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor, Dr. Francis Ram on WHMP.
Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor is underwritten by
Hug Your Money. So unique, it's patented. Financial coaching and more information at hugyourmoney.com.
Financial literacy and the human condition. Welcome to Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor, Dr. Francis Raham.
Hi, it's Francis. I just wanted to take a minute to thank you for watching this video. If you're catching us on YouTube, please help us help others by clicking like, subscribe, and all notifications so you don't miss any videos. And check back for the next video. I think you're going to love it. Thanks again. For more information, you can visit us at hugyourmoney.com.
Welcome to Financial Fitness. I'm Jess Tyler, along with the Money Doctor, Dr. Francis Ram. Hi.
Hi, Jess. How are you?
I am hanging in there, I will say that.
Yeah. Well, on the other side of a holiday, you know, a lot of people have super stress. And some of that's about money. Some of it's not, right? We all have stories about these crazy things that happen in the middle of our holiday season. But one of them happens to be finance. And, you know, it's great to run around saying, happy Thanksgiving, you know, happy holidays. But they're not happy to everyone. And I want to do what we can to maybe alleviate some of that today and to just, you know, talk about the elephant in the room and what we can do about it. So if you're feeling a little hopeless or a little down at the holidays and money has something to do with that, listen to this show because there are things you can do, whether you think so or not. And that's probably the biggest point here is that you may well think that you have done everything possible and you may be sure of yourself and you may have talked to your friends and your family and nobody has anything to offer. But you need to remember that they're not professionals at it. They either don't remember what it was like to not be able to make ends meet, or things have changed and what they know isn't relevant now, or they just don't get it. They just don't know who you are. So they say things to you like, don't forget to save off the top, pay yourself first. You know, for anybody out there who has not been able to, you know, they're counting their pennies like, am I going to get gas or groceries this week?
Yeah, if you haven't had a red strip on the top of your electric bill, then I don't want to hear from you.
Thank you very much, Jess. Exactly. A red strip on the top of your electric bill. So I think we need to talk about what happens. And it's very rare. I want to preface this by saying almost always when people come to us, there is some solution. It may not be the same solution, right? It's not cookie cutter. It's not always here. Just put your debt in the system and do this. A lot of times people can't. They're in trouble. They're up to debt in their, you know, to their eyeballs. Or recently I had a case where a woman had filed a bankruptcy before coming to me. So I didn't have that as an escape route for her. But when she filed the bankruptcy, you know, her credit card debt was discharged, but her student loans weren't, her mortgage wasn't, her car loan wasn't.
So it's easy to get right back into the same situation.
Well, she never got out of the situation. You know, the sad part about this is if we had looked at this first, we would have seen the problem together. Mm-hmm. We would have seen if you file this bankruptcy, here's how much money in monthly payments will be discharged. Mm-hmm. Let's look at your expenses. Oh, this is a problem because even after you discharge that, you still have too much in expenses for your income. Mm-hmm. And you no longer have credit because you just filed a bankruptcy. I'm sorry for laughing at this because it's not funny, but to me, it's just so avoidable. You know, it's so avoidable.
And I'm sure people don't factor in too that after you file a bankruptcy, any loan you go to get for the next 7 years, you're going to be paying more, right? If you're even able to get one.
Well, yeah. Well, so let's get rid of that scare tactic first.
Okay.
That people have, they have this fear about filing bankruptcy. I won't be able to get a loan for 7 years. That's not true. You will need to rebuild your credit and you will be able to get a loan if you rebuild your credit within a relatively reasonable period of time. I estimate a year and a half to get a car loan if we're actively working on repairing your credit, a year to a year and a half to get a car loan, maybe 3 to 4 to get a mortgage. Okay.
Well, that's but better than I thought.
Yeah. You have to be proactive about it. You have to do the work to rebuild your credit. And we have all these little tricks of the trade to do. For example, don't go out and apply for a credit card and get declined and then say, oh, gee, I'll try again, because that decline has gone on your credit report. It would be better to talk to us and find out which credit card am I going to get approved for. And it doesn't, by the way, here's a hint, it doesn't have to be a secured credit card.
Okay.
So there's just one little thing. If you thought you knew how to rebuild your credit after bankruptcy and the only way to do it was to get a secured credit card, thank you for playing. You're wrong. There are more things you can do. Okay. Mm-hmm. So the point about all of this is that it is never hopeless. All right. It might mean that you have to make some short-term sacrifices. The other thing that might have to happen is a long-term solution. And you might not like it, but you know what? You're not going to like being homeless either. And if you really have, and now I'm speaking to people who have been, I'm going to say good with their money, or at least, and people might be shaking their heads like, good with their money? Well, how do they have no money if they're good with it? Mm-hmm. Either they've been diligent and tried to reduce their budget as much as they can and not make poor decisions, or they just have gotten into this position because of, let's say, a divorce or they're perhaps widowed. Something has happened that they've lost their income. Even, you know, people who have income coming in because they're raising children. And when those children turn 18 or 22 or whatever the divorce decree might say, that income stops. I know when you start taking that income for children, you say, I'm not ever going to use it. It's only for my kids. But you know what? Life happens to people. And the thing I take exception to mostly, I think, is the attack on people who have fallen into some sort of financial peril, as if they were all just haphazardly just, you know, buying, you know, sweaters and bonbons and
big screen
going
TVs,
to expensive concerts. Are there people who do that? Of course, there are people who spend money like the old phrase was a drunken sailor, you know. There are people who spend money carelessly and end up in a bad place. But there are more people, in my experience, at least the ones we talk to, who really didn't do that, but who have ended up in a place where they just think they can't make ends meet. Now, a lot of the times that's true, but let's suppose that you know, it's not true, right? You think you can't make ends meet. You come to us, we find some solution. Sometimes it's putting them in the standard hug your money plan where we pay off that debt really quickly, track their expenses, and help them with retirement planning. Sometimes it's about reorganizing very carefully. Here's another thing you can do really badly. You can consolidate your debt, not know the outcome, and end up shooting yourself in the foot because now you have a new consolidation loan with one big payment that you have to make every month. You never pay off those little pieces quickly like we do. You never get any breathing room. And, you know, you would think, Jess, that bankruptcy attorneys and bankers would see this coming and they wouldn't advise you to do these things. But it just isn't true. They don't have, it's not their job, and they don't have those tools. If you go to a bankruptcy attorney, they ask you to build this little budget. It's hysterical if you really want to look at it. I mean, how much do you spend in groceries? I mean, it's all estimates.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's nothing in there like that's really specific. Like, let's track your expenses for a month, 2 months, 3 months, and see what you're really spending. Right. So, you know, you can really get yourself in trouble if you don't do this well. And I know we have some questions to get to, too, but which we can do in the second half. And I'll also give you some ideas of things that you can do that are short term fixes and long term fixes. Even if you have done everything you already can, your budget is trimmed to the bone, you don't think there's anything left to do, there's still hope.
All right. Well, we're going to get to questions in the second half. Actually, pause here for a second. We're only at 9 minutes. Do you still want to go here for a little bit?
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. I got the wrong. I do.
I got. I can edit this little part out.
I knew that seemed fast. Okay. Yeah. So, yes. Yeah. So go ahead.
I did have a quick question. It's kind of a little sidebar, as we do sometimes. Why is it legal, or this is a legal question, I guess, so you can just give me your guess. I just don't think it's fair that if you apply for a credit card and get turned down, they can deduct on your credit score. It makes you not want to apply for anything ever.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll agree with you on that. I think that's not great. I understand why it happens, but I would prefer that they just put the denial on your credit report like an inquiry, and didn't affect your score, right?
Yeah.
Instead of saying, look, but you have to understand, Jess, that credit scores, FICO, Fair and Isaac, the two guys that developed this lovely system. Yeah, thank you very much, Fair and Isaac. Credit scores are designed as a means to assess risk for lenders. So a lender is able to look at your number rather than read your report and say, well, they're a good risk, they're a bad risk, they're a great risk, whatever. So when a company looks at your credit and declines you, other companies want to see that as if there's been a little research done, right? So they say, oh, so-and-so declined you. Oh, I see that your score dropped. Okay, well, we don't like you now because your score is 579 instead of 620 or whatever, right? It's not fair necessarily, because very often a decline is because of something that is erroneous on your credit report, or something they didn't understand, or maybe they had different criterion than somebody else will have in order to lend to you. So
yeah, I totally understand any company having the right to deny you. Absolutely, they do if they think you're a bad risk. Sure. But then to get dinged on top of it just seems a little aggressive.
Yeah, it's rubbing salt in an open wound a little bit, right? Yeah. You're denied and we're going to zing you for it. So you know what my advice is always here is the first thing you do is you don't just apply. you pull your credit reports. I always recommend annualcreditreport.com directly through the credit reporting bureaus. Pull all three of them and scrutinize them. Go right through. They're pretty easy to read. They seem a little scary at first, but there's instructions there. Go right down the line and see, okay, this isn't necessarily accurate. I don't remember ever being late on that. And dispute it, because it's free to dispute these things. And you can dispute them right there online. Then wait 30 to 45 days, pull them again, see if your credit's cleaned up, then go and apply.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Good advice.
Otherwise, you really do cause yourself more of a problem.
Can you find out from some of these companies, like say you were trying to apply for a specific visa, is there a way to call the company and find out what credit score do you normally accept? Is it normally like a 650, a 680, whatever, so you know kind of ahead of time?
Yeah, I love to do that. That's a lot of what we teach people, is how to figure out how to play the game and then use that to your advantage. And so, yes, you can call. Now, you'll probably have to get a supervisor and you'll spend a little time on the phone. And the way to ask, I'm going to give this to you here. Here's my free tip of the day. You don't say, what credit score do you need for me to be approved? Because they won't be able to answer it.
Okay.
What you say is, hypothetically, if I were to apply and I had, let's say, a 620 credit score, would that mean possible approval for me, or do you require something else?
Okay.
And you need to remember that the people talking to you on the phone are either being listened to, or they might be in a facility where other people hear them. So they're probably not going to go, no, you need 720, you know.
Right.
But you can learn a lot about that. But you probably will have to get past the front line to do it. But it's worth doing. It's really worth doing.
Yeah, definitely, because then you know whether to apply or not, whether your credit score is going to get dinged or not.
Yes. Yeah. So I love that you ask questions like that, because you're a regular person, right? And you have, and not a financial geek. But they're important questions. And I know you have some other questions too. And I do want to talk in the second half about things that you can do if you've already trimmed your budget as much as you can trim it, and you think there's nothing else to do, you know, what's left.
And I just want to do a little plug here really quick that if you are out doing your Christmas shopping now, your book would be a great present if you're a parent and have kids and want to give them a little advice. If you are, you know, are getting ready to retire, let everybody know about the book and where you can get it. I think it'd be a great gift for anybody.
Thank you, Jess. I have to say that was a complete surprise. I didn't know you were going to do that. Very nice. That's very nice. Yes, it's Retire Debt and Retire Well. Not Retire Debt or Retire Well. Retire Debt and Retire Well. And you can get it at Amazon.com.
All right. And where can they get a hold of you on the phone?
Sure. 413-773-3333.
And HugYourMoney.com is the place to go. We've got questions coming up in the second half of Financial Fitness. Hang tight. We'll be back with the Money Doctor, Dr. Frances Ram, right here on WHMP.
Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor is underwritten by Franklin County Technical School. We build futures. Visit fcts.us or call 413-863-9561.
Welcome back to Financial Fitness. I'm Jess Tyler, along with the Money Doctor, Dr. Frances Ram. Hi.
Hi, Jess. Thanks for hanging in there with me.
Okay. Yeah, we're talking about it being a little overwhelming this time of year. It is for a lot of people.
It is for a lot of people. And as we talked about, if you're having financial, you know, difficulties, it comes with more baggage at this time of year, I think, when people are trying to, you know, bring food to somebody else's house or buy presents and money is really tight. It can really be excruciating. And I say that firsthand. I know I've told this story on the air and I won't go into it today, but I remember many holidays that were very bad, but I remember one Christmas in particular where I was so ashamed and so embarrassed and I just couldn't afford to do anything. And I didn't want to go to my family's house for Christmas, and love prevailed, and they called me and dragged me down there, and I had a lovely Christmas, but not without a lot of tears, and I was really feeling awful about it, and
yeah,
just got the willies again. I'm thinking about it, but I want to talk to people who maybe are really struggling, and who are feeling it more at the holidays, even that it is not hopeless. I know you might feel that way, but it is not hopeless. So let's talk about some things you can do. I want to leave time for our questions too, but let's talk about some things you can do. So first thing you can do is you can contact a pro and really go through your expenses, not just your hard costs, but how much do you spend on I don't know, copays or birthday gifts or, you know, coffee. I mean, it doesn't have to be, you don't have to feel penalized, you know, that you can't spend this money. But the hardest thing to do is to address this accurately. Mm-hmm. Instead, what people tend to do is what I call cherry picking. Oh, this money thing's really got me. I guess I'm just not going to eat out anymore. Or I'm going to trim my cell phone bill. I'm going to cut my streaming. And they cut as much as they can, thinking, okay, that's the solution, but still without a bottom line number, a real bottom line number. So when we do the hug your budget thing and you put all your expenses in there, we really see the bottom line. And that's what's so important, no matter how you do this, is to identify how short you really are on, in my case, 5 feet. How short you really are, what kind of deficit you're running on every month. And then you can address it. It will be a little painful, but not as bad as continuing to beat your head against the brick wall.
Right.
Because that's what makes it so hard, is that you don't have a solution and you keep doing it. Okay. Short-term things you can do. You can either trim your expenses or you can increase your income. Now, if you've already trimmed everything you can trim, and even if you've seen a pro like us and we've trimmed everything and it's still just staring us in the face that you have to increase your income, and you're working 50, 60 hours a week already, what are you going to do about that? So some short-term things. I know you won't like this, but you could consider a roommate. You could put somebody in for rent in a room. Doesn't have to be a separate apartment. Maybe they rent a room from you for a short period of time, like maybe a traveling nurse or a teacher who's, you know, only here for one semester or something like that, just to get you kind of over that hurdle. You don't have to go full Airbnb with this thing, okay? Try something like that and see how that might work for you. There are other income streams. Like at this time of year, we see the signs up that say Christmas light installation, or, you know, UPS is looking for drivers or something like that. You could take in some alterations, whatever. It doesn't have to be a lot. But once you identify your deficit, then you can go about trying to fix that, right? Mm-hmm. You say, gee, I'm running $300 upside down every month. I'm going to fix that. Okay. Long-term things, you know, you can file for other benefits like heating assistance, housing, you know, food stamps, anything that you might qualify for. Maybe the VA, if you're a veteran, might have some things to assist you. So think about that. But in terms of like a side hustle, you know, even those small things like things we talked about will really help. A lot of people are driving people to medical appointments these days and getting paid to do that. I know there are some huge companies that offer to do driving things, and some of them pay well and some of them don't. So be very careful about that. But I know people will say, well, I want passive income. I don't want to have to work actively for it. But passive income often means that you have to sort of start up a business, like a vending machine business or something that makes money while you sleep. So be careful about that, particularly if you're already, you know, running on a deficit. Be careful about investing more money in the hopes that you're going to get out of it with this passive income. Start first with the active stuff. Get yourself on your feet. So I hope this helps, but I will help anybody who wants to talk to us about this, of course. And I promise to leave room for questions. So shoot, you got questions.
Well, one actually ties right into that. I'm going to skip ahead to that one. It's about an ADU that they're approved now, but the initial investment to get it ready to be able to rent would be about $25,000. Is it worth it to do that? You're not probably going to see a return on that for, I don't know, depending on how much you charge for rent. So they want to know whether that's a good investment or not.
It depends on how they do it. And how long they're going to rent. The math might say, look, we're going to recoup this in a year at $2,000 a month or whatever, right? And so that's worth doing. But the practical math might not work. That how are they going to do that? Do they have the money to do it? So that would be a place where I would say, let's look at the whole picture and let's juggle some things to see if we can get this to happen, maybe without increasing your monthly outlay at all by doing some creative financing. But yeah, I think anything that will increase your income long term, if you're willing to do it, might be worth some investment. You just have to be careful not to harm yourself doing it.
Yeah. Okay. Michael D. from Amherst wants small business advice. He wants to start a small business selling food, but can't afford the local business rents unless he moves to a rural area. He sometimes sells food at local farmers markets, but wants a more permanent presence in a downtown area. Do you have any advice for him? What could he do about the rent? He's worried about losing money in his first 2 years. Yep. What would be the major pitfalls?
Well, he's smart. Restaurant businesses are one of the top businesses that fail. The first pitfall, I would say, is do the gut check. Does he want, and this is so common, not just in the restaurant business, but in lots of businesses, is he in love with the idea of having a store, of having a restaurant or a storefront where people come in and he's got brick and mortar? Is he in love with that idea, or is he really thinking that there's a reason he has to have this storefront in order to advance his business? And would it, in fact, increase his profits by enough to cover that rent? Some advice I would give to him is to check the local community development center in his area. These are people who have great resources, often free, usually inexpensive. They help you with things like business plans. The one here in Franklin County has a kitchen. I mean, that like, who's it? Michael's Pickles. Somebody's Famous Pickles is done in. And when the Four Leaf Clover was open, they did their barbecue sauce and all of that. It's an entire registered kitchen that you can provide stuff from.
Yeah.
Another thing might be that he might be able to work out some deal with a place like an Elks or a Moose or a Lodge that has a kitchen that isn't necessarily being used often, but they
that's a good idea.
They already have the kitchen, and they might be willing to let him use that, maybe even use it to provide food for their patrons at a cut rate. So there, I mean, obviously I'm just touching the tip of the iceberg here, but people ask these very direct questions like, will I be able to pay the rent or not? And my mind immediately goes to, well, let's tip that on its side and figure out whether it's the right thing for you or not. And how creative can we get about it? Well, I could go on for an hour about that easy, but let's let's go to the next question. I hope that's helpful to Michael, though.
All right. Sammy from Northampton wants to help her two daughters with college expenses, but doesn't know what the strategy should be. Should she give her daughters a credit card with a strict limit? Should she co-sign loans? She owns a small home, worked hard to save money with her husband, wants to avoid incurring too much debt as she approaches retirement.
Yeah, well, great question. So yes, you want to teach your kids by example. Should you co-sign loans? No, you shouldn't co-sign loans. I hate co-signing loans, but you will get boxed into it anyway because the kids can only get so much money as a freshman, sophomore, junior for student loans, and the rest of it falls on the parents. So I would love to tell you don't co-sign the loans, but you will probably get stuck co-signing some loans. However, don't co-sign things you don't need to. Okay. Then the credit card with a limit or so. Yeah, I like that idea. I would almost rather, though, that it was a debit card tied to a separate account with a credit card logo on it. So if they need a credit card, they can use it as a Visa or MasterCard, but the money is actually coming out of the account. It isn't going on to a credit card that has to maybe get paid at the end of the month. They will still be able to learn how to use that money. If you want them to build credit and you don't want to give them a credit card, put them on as an additional user on your card.
I was just going to mention this because this is one of the tips from you that I've held on to since we started the show.
Oh, really?
A great idea this is. Yeah.
Oh, thanks. Well, so then you pay your bill on time. They're going to get credit. Don't give them the card.
Right.
Just when the card comes in, don't give it to them. But go ahead and pay that bill and build some credit for them so that they have something when they get out of school. But instead of just handing them credit blindly, teach them along the way to use money wisely by putting a finite amount of money in that account. It can only get recharged when it needs to. They have to come to you and say, I spent all my money. What did you spend it on? This is a learning process. This is a wonderful question, and I'm so glad that she sees it the way she does about not getting herself into trouble as she's approaching retirement as well. And probably the best gift she can give her kids is to teach them along the way through example like that. Yeah, great question.
Okay, great. All right, that was Sammy. Angie from Greenfield, we get this question a lot, wants to know when it makes sense to buy, finance, or lease a car. Does it ever make sense to lease? She has an aging Buick, the 2011, but isn't sure if buying makes sense given her very tight budget. She's got a family with a kid and a pending separation makes around $60,000 a year.
Well, the pending separation the pending separation is the first thing that makes my eyebrows go up because I'm wondering if she's scrambling, like, what happens if I get divorced? How will I be able to get a car? So I have to do it now, right? Sometimes people do that. I would caution her to talk to her attorney about this. If she hasn't gotten an attorney already, at least get a free consult. I know it's hard to face, but what happens if things don't work out for us? Where am I financially? Will I be able to buy a car or not? Not that they'll look at her money, but they'll tell her what the ins and outs are, you know, how that gets divided if the worst happens for her. Does it make sense to lease a car? Yeah, I actually have a two-part video on this that's client seat in our membership dashboard. But it makes sense to lease a car, in my opinion, either when you're in our program already, and I can see that we're going to pay off quite a bit of debt in the next 3 years,
okay,
and that we're going to prepare to be able to buy that car out in 3 years,
mm-hmm.
That's the best way to do it, to win the game that way, and then not to lease too much car. In other words, don't lease more car than you could have bought. So if you could buy a $30,000 car and the payment is, you know, at whatever, $500 a month, but you can lease it for $250 a month, let's lease it for now and then buy it out at the end, but only inside the program when we're paying off debt. The problem with leases is you never get rid of that car payment. And so people will just trade in one lease for another, but it keeps going up, 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 up. Now, some people say, well, that's okay because I want to drive a new car. Fine, if you can afford it. But this woman is on a reasonably limited income and facing possible financial, you know, disaster. I hate to say disaster, struggles, maybe.
Troubles, yes.
Troubles. So the other place it makes sense to use a lease is if it's deductible for your business in some way, if your business needs to lease a vehicle. That's a question for an accountant. I would almost prefer, if she will call me, that we talk about whether to buy or buy new or used and how to make that work within her budget so that she doesn't have that, hey, what am I going to do in 3 years from now, given her personal life at the moment. I do want her to talk to an attorney.
I know we're going to run out of time, but another piece of advice you gave that I remembered, which I thought was great, was that you could buy a used car, but go to the bank and find out what year they cut off that you can get the longest loan for.
Yeah,
I thought that was great advice. Yeah.
The sweet spot. Yeah. That's why I said, if she'll call me, I'll go through that with her. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Hey. Perfect. It looks like we're going to be out of time, but before we go, I want to let everybody know that sent in a question, you will get a copy of the book, Retire Debt and Retire Well. If you want to send a question in and we use it on the air, you'll get a copy of the book. And you can send those to jtyler@whmp.com or to hugyourmoney.com. You'll get those. And if we use it, yeah, you get the book.
Thanks, Jess. Yeah.
It'd be a nice re-gift for Christmas, by the way.
Yeah. I know we'll talk again, but in case somebody doesn't catch the show between now and the holidays, really wishing everybody a happy holiday season. And if money is worrying you, please just call us. It's so addressable. No matter how bad you think it is, don't let yourself walk around feeling badly at the holidays or any
time. What phone number can they reach you at?
Thanks, Jess. They can reach us at 413-773-3333.
And you can always go to hugyourmoney.com. Happy holidays to you, too. I'm sure I'll talk to you before then, but thank you so much. We'll be back again next week, right?
We will. Thanks, Jess.
Another edition of Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor, Dr. Francis Ram, right here on WHMP.
Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor is underwritten by
Hug Your Money. So unique, it's patented. Financial coaching and more information at hugyourmoney.com.
Financial literacy and the human condition. Welcome to Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor, Dr. Francis Raham.
Hi, it's Francis. I just wanted to take a minute to thank you for watching this video. If you're catching us on YouTube, please help us help others by clicking like, subscribe, and all notifications so you don't miss any videos. And check back for the next video. I think you're going to love it. Thanks again. For more information, you can visit us at hugyourmoney.com. Welcome to Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor. I'm Dr. Francis Raham, and my guest slash partner host today is somebody I really want to introduce to you. She's somebody that I'm very grateful to have on our side, and we call her our public access specialist. So you may have heard her on the phone. She may have called you or emailed you, but I'd like for you to meet Deborah Emerson.
So nice to meet all of you, too.
Thank you. Thanks for doing this. So, you know, to come clean, I have wanted to do this kind of a show with you for a long time to really introduce you to people and talk about a little bit about how we work together to get the word out about financial wellness through TV and radio. But because we have a holiday coming up, I wanted to do the show today and just talk to people about Thanksgiving, not about money. Just about Thanksgiving and all the things that we might be grateful for, and a fun story that
that you might not have heard somewhere else, just like most of the things we tell you. So Deborah's done a little research. I've done a little research. And it turns out that I'd like to tell you a Thanksgiving story that you will be able to share with your family without getting into an argument, I hope.
Around the dinner table, maybe.
I hope. Around the dinner table. Exactly. So let me just start by saying, I just want to play quick word association, and I will tell people I did not prep Deborah for this. She has no idea what's coming. She's being clandestined in the room. Okay. With her headphones on, right? Okay, quick word association. Name one thing you're grateful for.